this ceremony, initiation ceremony, this is like, you could say, quantum leap, to borrow a modern scientific term. Quantum leap means a great stride forward in spiritual life. Just like in my country, America, there was the first moon landing, or so they say. Probably was not so certain, actually, about the moon, but because it's a half of a planet. But supposedly, when the astronaut got out of the module, out of the spaceship, Mr. Neil Armstrong was his name, he stepped for the first time, quote-unquote, onto the surface of the moon. He said, this is a small step for man, but a big step for mankind. This is inscribed in every American's memory. A small step for man, because it was only 1 meter to the ground, but a big step for mankind means that their scientific progress had made a quantum leap by quote-unquote going to the moon. Sometimes we use analogies in order to help us understand, to grasp spiritual truths, because it may be a little subtle for us, at least in the beginning. So, this is like a quantum leap. Why? Because a great burden is lifted from the heart of the candidate. A great burden of what? A great burden. When you think of a burden, you think of someone carrying something on their back and struggling hard because of the burden. They're shuffling steps. A burden. So what is the burden that we carry? The result of our past sinful actions. This is a heavy burden that we carry. We've been carrying this burden since day one in the material world. We cannot actually calculate how many births we've been in this material world, but if it was Krishna conscious, we wouldn't be here today. It was everything but Krishna consciousness. Well, to greater or lesser degrees, a fall from grace. What are the results? In this material world, every action has its reaction. So these reactions to our activities, which are bahir mukha, in which we have turned our face from God, there's some result from that that comes. Something comes, even the smallest. The Jains, with all due respect, they try to avoid accumulating these reactions by wearing a mask all the time so they don't breathe in the insects. I saw in India recently, I went to a Jain town, Jain people in temples, and they sweep the road so they don't step on the insects. And they only cook under certain conditions. But of course, something is there, something accumulates. But at this initiation ceremony, the burden of that those sinful reactions is lifted from the heart of the candidate. Giving them a, Prabhupada said he liked to use the word clean slate. A clean slate. It's more like when Prabhupada was young and they would teach on the blackboard. Nowadays we have pens on the white surface and you can erase it. Then they had the chalk and the blackboard. So the teacher in the old English schools in India, they would write with the chalk. So at the end of the day, when the lessons were over, the teacher would take the eraser and like this. The slate was clean. So this initiation ceremony is a big step forward. A big burden is lifted from the heart of the candidate, giving them the liberty, the freedom to pursue only those activities which in direct relationship with Krishna, which bear no reaction, but rather liberate one from the confines of material existence and deliver one to the lotus feet of Krishna. That's the nature of these activities. Mam chayo bhavi parchan, mam chayo bhakti yoga na sevate, sagunan samatityaitan, brahma bhoya kalpate. That one who engages in the process of devotional service who doesn't deviate under any circumstances. At once transcends the modes of nature and comes to the level of the mind. So we're active, but we're not foolishly active. We're active under the guidance of the Lord, our spiritual master, and the Vaishnavas, and as a result, the actions that we perform in Krishna consciousness bear no good or bad result. Shuddha Shakti, pure goodness. The only result we get is that our devotion for Krishna is awoken. But in order for that, those desires to mature and grow in a healthy way, the weeds of sinful reactions and material desires have to be removed from the heart. Then the plant of bhakti can grow very nicely. This is a great advantage, this initiation. It's more than just the rituals of chanting the mantras and pouring the ghee on the fire and throwing the grains and the bananas. That is symbolic to some degree. Actually, the spiritual master accepts the karma of the disciple, and so the disciple can be free to make smooth progress without the burden. How does the spiritual master deal with those karmic reactions? Because he's also jiva. How does he deal with the... Generally we see that any one person in this world is struggling beyond belief with their own karmic reactions. How can any one individual take on the karmic reactions of 2, 3, 4, 5, 10, 2,000, 3,228 disciples? How is that possible? Because the spiritual master is the Lord's representative, and by the Lord's mercy he's invested with the ability to do so, and that is mainly done through the most essential activity that we perform in Krishna consciousness. One time Prabhupada said the most important instruction the spiritual master gives is chant 16 rounds a day, the Maha Mantra. Hare
Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
This means that the spiritual master must have faith in the holy names and must apply that and must chant constantly.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
One who knows the science of Krishna consciousness knows that just as darkness cannot stand where there is light, so ignorance or sin or karma, anything adverse to Krishna cannot stand in the presence of the Lord. Just like they say, it may be very dark the room, but one little tiny candle can light up the whole room. So if one just has some faith in the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, one knows that that can destroy whatever is adverse to Krishna. Just like we like to tell the story, we've told it many times, that after Prabhupada came back from India for the first time, he brought some of his disciples with him back to Kolkata, and they went out to Navadvip. And some of Prabhupada's god brothers were a little jealous, that we've heard, a little envious. And one in particular began complaining, and he came to Prabhupada and said that you've given diksha to these Westerners? They're addicted to sinful activity. This is a strong word. Not just that one has engaged in sinful activity, but one's addicted to it. It means that one cannot stop. Even if one's intelligence says one should stop, the momentum is so great that one cannot stop. So we know here in Western countries, and now to some degree in India as well, the evils of Kali Yuga are becoming the norm. Like meat eating, intoxication, illicit sex, and gambling. Well, what is now normal, you know, years ago these things were unheard of in the higher sections of society. But now very prominent, and the West is characterized by these sinful activities. Therefore it's stated, a sadhu in India should not cross beyond the borders of Bharat in his own interest. To leave Bharat, to leave the land of light, to leave India means to become involved in the sinful activities that take place outside of Aryan civilization. So sadhus would not cross beyond the border of India. They would stay because they were protected by that higher culture there. And it seems the further west you go, the more degraded it becomes. I think the furthest west you can go is America. So the Prabhupada's godmother, he said, how are you giving diksha, how are you giving the holy name to these Westerners? They have so many sinful reactions in their heart. They can't be purified. They're just, we have read in the newspapers, the hippies and the beatniks, and we've seen the photos of how they're dressing and what they're doing. He said, as a wine-stained pot can never be purified to be used in a yajna. You can't take a pot that's been carried wine and then clean it and use it in a yajna. It just doesn't work. In the same way, the hearts of these Westerners can never be purified because of what they've done. So how are you giving diksha? So Prabhupada became angry. He turned the wheel and he said, what is more powerful? Many millions of lifetimes of sinful reactions stored together, or one holy name of God? One holy name of Krishna. What's more powerful? So if that godmother, who was a Gaudiya Vaishnava, was to say that sinful reactions are more powerful than God, he would be an atheist. But he knew the science enough, so he had to admit defeat. So Prabhupada said, I am going there, and I admit they are very fallen. But what am I giving them? Hard to concentrate. Maybe take him in the temple and show him the deities. So he had to admit. So in this way, Prabhupada demonstrated the power of the holy name. And our advancement in Krishna consciousness is measured but to the degree that we have faith in the instructions of our spiritual master and the holy name. That's how you measure your progress in Krishna consciousness. How much faith you have in your spiritual master, and how much faith you have in his instruction to chant Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Because those two things, faith in Guru and faith in Buddha's instructions to chant, that's all you need to detach yourself from this nasty world and become attached to Krishna and the wonderful world of Goloka. So today that attachment becomes stronger because one takes vows to the spiritual master to follow the four-legged two principles, and one takes a vow to chant 16 rounds a day. In this way, one is not on their own, so to speak, to make spiritual progress. The yogis and the jnanis, by their own efforts, they try to overcome the material nature and achieve transcendence, but a devotee of the Lord, he has the help of the Lord himself, he has the help of his devotee spiritual master, and he has the kind help of all the assembled Vaishnavas. So his deliverance, if they remain strict, is assured in due course of time. So like that, that's how we see this day. This is the most important day in the life of the candidate since they left the spiritual world. Because this marks the actual true beginning of our return back to the spiritual world. This guarantees, what, like one time Prabhupada said at a lecture in New York, I was there, he said, deathlessness begins at the moment of initiation. Immortality. One becomes immortal. One achieves the spiritual world if one strictly follows the process of Krishna consciousness. We have many important days that we think about in our lives. The day we took birth, the day we started school, the day we married, when we had our first baby, when we moved into our new house, when we graduated. These are all something significant. But nothing as significant as second birth. Our first birth into this world is It is something wonderful because we hear from Vedic scriptures there's 8,400,000 species of life. And the human form of life is durlabham. It's very rarely attained. It's not so often that the living entity gets the human form of life by which one can understand who he is, who is God, and who his relationship with God is. So that's very rare. But, especially because of the nature of this age, one is often misguided about the purpose of life and how to attain it. One becomes involved in so many materialistic activities and gradually becomes more and more entangled. So, and it is a birth into ignorance. As we take birth, we don't know who we are, we don't know the goal of life, we don't know how to achieve it. We have to learn all these things, just like little Kayla. She has to learn everything. Material, how to eat, how to talk, how to walk. So what to speak of spiritually. So therefore, Shastra says, birth into this world, although it's a human form of birth, still a birth into ignorance. But this birth, whereby one revives one's spiritual nature, one's spiritual personality, one's spiritual form in relationship to the Supreme Lord, that is a very auspicious birth. And one should utilize it properly. Just as the child grows by taking the milk from the mother and later getting the first grains, then eating a well-balanced diet, the body grows. You can see proportionately that those who live in a poor society where there's not enough nutrition, very often the children don't grow properly. They're malnourished, they're diseased, unfortunately. In the same way, when we take our second birth in spiritual life, we must be careful to take the proper nourishment, to avoid those activities which are detrimental to spiritual life, as I mentioned, like meat eating, intoxication, illicit sex and gambling, and detrimental to one's spiritual growth, and to very eagerly embrace those activities which nourishes the soul's development. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Shmaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Bandham, Dasim, Sakyam, Atmanivedanam. 9 processes which are very favorable to awakening one's spiritual nature, of which the most important are Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Shmaranam. Hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord, and then eventually coming to the stage of love where you can always remember the Lord. So it's up to the candidate. It's not that the spiritual master accepts the disciple and then that's it. One is delivered. No. It's more like the spiritual master is like, because we're in the darkness of ignorance, he shines the light of transcendental knowledge on the path, showing us where to walk. He doesn't just take us by the hair and drag us. Although Mahaprabhu did that to his servant Krishnadas, but that was something exceptional. He dragged him away from the gypsy camp. The spiritual master may come back to rescue us if we don't make it in this lifetime, but we shouldn't wish that upon our guru. He will do that because he takes the side of the contract very seriously. But he shines the light. Om Agyantimadam Dasya Ginam Gina Shalakaya Chaksu Maitam Jainatasma Siguru Venamaha. He shows the path, and the intelligent disciple, seeing that direction, not by a flashlight, but through the words of knowledge, he speaks and he shows the path out of darkness into light, out of ignorance into truth, out of the material world into the spiritual world. He shows that through speaking, repeating the words of the scriptures, setting a good example of himself, and pointing to the lives of previous acharyas and saints. So it's very clear, for one who listens carefully to the spiritual master, it's very clear how to proceed out. And this is actually the connection we have with our guru. It's through hearing. So therefore, we sometimes lambast science and technology. They're not the goal of life, but at the same time, they have provided us with iPods and computers and internet, whereby we can constantly be hearing the instructions of our spiritual master and other spiritual authorities as well. One may have one Diksha Guru, or one may have many Shiksha Gurus who in one's lifetime inspire them on the path of devotional service. And this is our main connection with our spiritual master, to hear. Of course, we always want to be in his physical presence. That may sometimes be there, it may sometimes not. that we can always hear, narottam.com. Now as well. Unless one is completely computer illiterate, and that, I don't know how that's possible to survive in these days. Even 3-year-olds are using computers. 97-year-olds are using. We can remain in contact. And that sound vibration is very powerful. Shabda Brahma means a sound which comes from the spiritual world, which destroys material ignorance. Narottam refers to that. He says, Golok Premdan Harinam Sankirtan. That this Sankirtan movement, this specifically, this chanting of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, it's been imported from the spiritual world. It's a very special, and he's meaning essentially the chanting of the holy names. So therefore you'll see a devotee who's understanding these things will always chanting. Prabhupada said minimum 16 rounds. But one who gets some namruchi, some taste, who gets some realization of the glories of the holy name and how powerful it is to uproot those sinful reactions, uproot the material desires and awaken prema. Doesn't waste a minute. Whenever there's a spare moment, there's some name of Krishna. Yasamati nanana, vatanarana, vokulavandana, jindamani pukadasadana sukalpa laksha, laksha vitesha shudabir vipali vatam, kriyana, hriyana, hey Krishna. Prabhupada was always like that. He was always, I noticed, he was always chanting. Because one is protected, one is purified, and one is delivered by the chanting. So this essentially is what you're getting today. The blessings to chant Hare Krishna. Up until initiation, one is getting some benefit from chanting because the holy name is Namachintamani Krishna Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha, name of God. Any name one knows God by, any authorized name of God, it's powerful, and one is getting freedom from sinful reaction, material desire. But if one wants prema, the ultimate goal of life, the fifth goal is described by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. One wants that prema described by Lord Chaitanya. O Govinda, feeling your separation, I'm considering a moment to be like 12 years or more. Tears are flowing from my eyes like torrents of rain. I'm feeling all vacant in the world in your absence. If one wants that type of love for God that we experience in a sort of perverted way in this world, but in a true sense, the real love for the Lord, which is eternal, if one wants that prema, that love, which is really what Krishna consciousness is all about in the long run. It's all about love for God. We can never forget that. That's why we're here, to love Krishna. That prema, you can only get if you have the blessings to chant Hare Krishna. You have to take initiation. You can't get prema. So that's why initiation is so important. You know, we want to be an accepted part of the society, International Society for Krishna Consciousness. We would like to have our name changed from Dorothy or Michael or Bob or Susie or Katie. Or we'd like to have a beautiful spiritual name. we'd like to be linked to our spiritual master. But we should know that the chanting can deliver us the highest goal of life, which is that one day you'll chant the holy names, and due to that deep turbulence of spiritual emotion in your heart, which will be more powerful than anything we've experienced in this world, some love will come and some tear will come to your eye and down your cheek, and then you'll know your Krishna consciousness is perfect. That emotion will hoping for. So that's some distance away. We have a lot of cleansing to do, Chaita Dharpana Marjanam. But at least we can look forward to that goal. Our future is very bright, and it really begins in earnest today, just like the Olympics are coming. So there's 4 laps around the track, whatever, in one race. So the first lap they run, and the second, and by the third, they really get going. And the fourth, they're running all in earnest. In the race. So the candidates have been attracted to Krishna consciousness. They saw something in this movement, in some persons that they thought was attractive more than anything else in this world. They associated with devotees. Doshudhata sadhu sangata bhajanakriya nartanivitusya. They got some faith. They began practicing diligently. They accepted the shelter of a spiritual master. They practiced. And now this is like the third lap. Now devotional service begins in earnest. Now there's no turning back. There's no turning back. Now you turn your back on Maya and you face the Lord and you progressive march forward. It's okay to turn your back on ignorance and face knowledge. It's okay to turn your back on darkness and face light. It's okay to turn your back on this material world and all that it supposedly offers and face God and devotional service. That's all right. We made the mistake of turning our back on God at one time. Vaihirmukha. That was our cardinal sin, our great mistake, our fall from grace. But now this symbolizes, you know, you just say no to all the prospects of material conditioning. You have to have that strength. And you get that strength by serving your spiritual master, serving his mission, serving Prabhupada's mission. And every day sitting down and giving your whole heart to chanting
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Why do some devotees make more advance than others? Because of the faith in the holy name. Our whole life revolves around chanting the holy name and giving the holy name to others. Otherwise, why live in this world? There's nothing here to offer. We just live to chant and we give the holy name to others. For some householders, that means giving the holy name to their family members, training them in the science from conception to when they fly from the nest. Somehow impressing upon them, shamskaras, importance of chanting the holy names. Others, it means delivering in their immediate associates, their greater family, their neighbors, their community, whatever. For others it may mean actually going out on the streets and singing Hare Krishna, distributing books and holding festivals. But all of it's part of Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement. It all makes up the greater movement of Sankirtan. Everyone has a part to play. No one's part is more important than any other's part if one is doing it with sincerity from the heart. Mahaprabhu said, Narottam said, Grihe tako vani tako. Whether one's a grihastha, one's a sannyasi living in the forest, if that person has his heart's desire to serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said, I take the dust of that person, be a grihastha, sannyasi, put it on my head. So everyone has a role. So we must never forget that our main purpose in life is chanting Hare Krishna. We have so many duties, so many responsibilities, and we get caught up in them. Like if you go on Facebook, it's all baby katha. That's understandable, especially for ladies. You know, every time the baby moves a finger, it's like a Facebook post. That's okay. But there's primary and secondary. Primary is that we have to deliver ourselves and we have to deliver our dependents. No one should become a demigod, a spiritual master, a teacher, a mother, a father, unless they can deliver their dependents from the repetition of birth and death. So how to do that? We have to give our children some taste for Krishna consciousness. Parents mean they have to make it fun. Make Krishna consciousness fun. Because children like to have fun, so you have to make it fun. And that we can do. But as we grow up, we see life is actually not so fun. It's serious business, this life. To be aware of the miseries of birth, disease, old age, and death. It makes one a little sober. Older one becomes, more sober you become, realizing the futility of life. And the only shelter is Krishna in this age in the form of his name.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
So you're getting initiated into these holy names. It's a very significant moment. Even it's hard to comprehend how significant it is. Take these blessings and perfect them and go back home, back to Godhead. And take as many souls back with you as you can. Hare Krishna Ma Mantra Ki
Jai,
Shri Baba Ki
Jai,
Shri Guru Parampara Ki
Jai,
Jai Go Prema Namah
Hare Krishna.